Well, here we are 2 days before Christmas, 2 days before we celebrate the birth of Jesus, 2 days before Santa and gifts and meals together, maybe if we're dealing with loss, maybe a difficult day. But here we are, this close to Christmas, maybe expecting to come here and hear the reading of the Christmas story that we all love so much, and instead, we get a listing of names. It's almost like we're reading out of a phone book today. And we only read the most familiar names of the 42 that are listed. It's like we've gone to the finest 3-star Michelin restaurant, and they're out of everything except for tuna salad on toast. It's great that we're here, but maybe it's not quite what we expect. So it begs the question, why? Why, this close to this day, are we reading this? The first few passages of the first book of the New Testament, and they begin this way. Well, throughout the Bible, especially the Old Testament, as you know, we see time after time these lists. The begats. So-and-so begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so. And in biblical and historical terms, these lines are important. Generally, they are used to prove status, to show that this leader, this man, has come from appropriate stock for this appropriate place. And I wonder if this sensibility has truly changed over the generations. But in this case, in these verses in Matthew, there's more than just one single reason. This list doesn't come from a desire to prove dominance or show vanity or self-importance. This first shows that the ancestry of Christ fulfills so many of the promises of the Old Testament. Those made to Abraham, that he would be the father of many nations, that the Savior would come from his line, specifically David, the King of Israel, the King of Israel, that the Messiah would be a direct descendant. All these promises fulfilled. God's word was bond. God's word is bond. And second, perhaps more importantly, our focus today, this tells us about the very nature of Jesus and the shape of his ministry and of his interaction with us even now. How so? Well, if this tells us anything beyond just the technical lineage, it's that Jesus came with family baggage. We read these names, we see these names that we know, these names of heroes, the central characters of the foundational stories of the Bible and our faith, but we know that they weren't perfect. Their mistakes were woven into their identity, but in most of these cases, God still used them. They served even still. Each one of these people were created to be a part of God's purpose, just as we, despite ourselves, have been created for God's purposes. But to better understand this, we should probably take a quick look at some of these names and some of these stories. First, and we mentioned him already, Abraham, the father of many nations, had many sons, and many sons had him. And God made him this promise that his ancestors would be as numerous as the stars in the sky, that he would be lauded and held in esteem throughout all eternity. And what does he do? Well, he runs out of patience. He has a child with a servant rather than with his wife, which leads to pain and separation. Yet God keeps his promises. And then there's Jacob, a story which on its face is hard to understand. Jacob, the manipulator, the thief, overcome with greed and power, stealing what rightfully belonged to his brother. A man of conflict, even in his mother's womb. This is a very complicated story. And Tamar, a woman forced into selling her body for survival. We see Rahab, another woman of ill repute. And then we come to David, God's chosen king of Israel, the greatest of kings, the warrior, the poet, the adulterer, and the murderer. And then his son Solomon, a king of great wisdom, a great king, a man with 700 wives and 300 concubines. And then Rehoboam, a leader who raised taxes on his people so greatly that his tax collectors were murdered as they tried to collect. And Ahaz, another difficult story, another king from Israel who actively turned his people from God to worship an idol. And God's people in pagan worship at the command of their king, which resulted in Ahaz sacrificing his own son to a fake god. Just this cursory look at these names in this lineage, and it's plain to see that this was one messed up family from one generation to the next. But how deep does this go? What do we see beyond just the names that we've mentioned? What really makes up this line that Matthew finds so important? Well, we see firstborn and non-firstborn. We see people of high status and low. We see immoral people and moral people. Many times that's the same person. We see people of great faith in God, people who deny God. We see the powerful and the nobodies. We see men and women, which in such a patriarchal society was rather remarkable to include. Jews and Gentiles, biblical celebrities, and the unknown. But all this said and recounted, why? Why not the story? The story we've been told since we were children. The story comforting enough to Linus that he finally lets go of his blanket during the Charlie Brown Christmas special. I would tell you that because it's as important to remember the why of this season as it is to remember the how, if not more so. It is wonderful and meaningful to remember what has occurred. The place, Bethlehem, a tiny town on the outskirts, the circumstances, a baby born to a virgin in a stable surrounded by animals and laying in a food trough. Remembering the improbability of all this completes the promises of that miracle. But at the front of their minds, at front of our minds, we need more than just the scene. We have to remember the motivation. The simple core of this story of Jesus is that God has come to us, made himself vulnerable at our level. He's walked and eaten among us, wept with us, laughed with us. Beginning with his birth, our very nature has been redefined. We've been set free from obedience being our only concern because the door to grace has been opened. No longer do we come to God through our own actions, but we are pulled closer to God because he reaches out for us through his son. And the result of all this? Well, the result is that we live our lives in response to this gift. And now, rather than being tattooed with our mistakes, we're wiped clean. Our history, our old ways, our baggage is now set to be replaced with hope. No longer are we defined by our worst. No longer are we greater because of the power that we have accumulated. No longer are we weaker because this society has forgotten about us. No longer does our influence make us more important. No longer are we set apart because of our family tree. Kings and servants, the firstborn and the thirdborn, the warriors and the weaklings, the powerful and the nobodies, men and women, Jews and Gentiles, sinners and saints, believers and doubters, this baby redefines who all of us are. Now we're defined by a love great enough to bring God off the throne and into the dirt. By grace and redemption, gifts that have come in the shape of a baby, a Messiah, Jesus Christ, the highest branch of a complicated and troubled family tree. This is who we are. I've gone through lots of lists this morning, names and traits, categories. Because understanding this is vital, because somewhere, whether in the family tree or in the categories that we've mentioned, we can see ourselves and our situations. And earlier, we read two verses from Luke's gospel, which come in the context of Jesus recruiting his disciples. What good can come out of Nazareth? What good can come out of these complicated situations of this story? What good can come from a birth in a barn? Out of Nazareth, beginning in Bethlehem, the story that we know so well came a baby. The good that followed was this. I think we can answer it with this illustration. Each year, businesses across the country use millions of pallets to haul and hold products. After all these have been used and they've held heavy loads, after they've been worn down and they're cracked and they're loose and they're weak, lots of businesses have to pay for other companies to dispose of them. Perhaps they're burned or they're dumped into landfills, but there are also companies who take and recycle these pallets. They are dismantled, they're salvaged, and they're turned into something completely new, furniture or wood flooring. Here was this rough, lifeless wood, broken and pressed down by its past responsibilities and expectations, and now it's become transformed into something of true, true value. It's made into something completely new. Which brings, we each bring with us a past that is not always under our control. Our very own family baggage, our own mistakes, our weaknesses, our own phone books. But this story is one of hope. Hope that we may overcome ourselves, hope that this baby may shape and change us and take us to a better place. Out of Nazareth, beginning in Bethlehem, the story that we know so well, did come a baby. And the good that followed this, the simple truth, who we have been, where we've come from, does not limit what Jesus does for us. Who we were yesterday does not have to shape who we might be tomorrow. The good that follows this is the why of the story, and may we set our hearts upon it and allow this baby to reshape and redefine who we are. Let us be open to this story and what God has done through it. May we allow ourselves to be redefined and reshaped and renewed. Merry Christmas to all of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.